Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Welcome, everyone, to your weekly dose of prospect goodness, the Palazzo Prospects Power Hour, and sometimes it's a little more than an hour. Okay, often it's more than an hour, but, you know, I am your guy, Big Ben Chase, and I'm here to talk a little prospects with my man, Robbie, Rocky Mountain Robbie.
Yeah, that's baseball. Right. I'm transitioning to a Rockies fan, and... super excited to dive into, I think, the one Rocky that's on the list. But we do have Rocky talk tonight, Ben. So, yeah, that's good, and I'm happy for it. So, how are things going for you early in this baseball season?
So far, I was really big on Grayson Rodriguez. I was really big on George Kirby, and I have way too many – well, in – I guess we'll – talk to me in July about whether I have way too many shares of Ronald Acuna Jr. But with these guys that are not coming back until, you know, May or even later, my first month has kind of just been, so how's Dylan Moore doing tonight? Because that's kind of where I've been at.
Yeah, he just got traded in a 30-team league of mine. And it was Oswald Beto and someone else, and Moore was like the big return on the other end. And I'm like, oh man, early season moves. Yeah. You know, you got to love it. And there were probably 6 trades in 2 of my big leagues today, as teams are trying to get the roster straight and realizing, like, you know, arms are falling. There's a million catchers hurt now. Things aren't going great. And if you want all the inside scoop on that, you got to listen to the Friday show. That the boys do, Britton, Mike and Mike, or listen to Sunday with Britton, Mike and Mike, or whomever shows up, depending on what it is. We will discuss things, but we like talking prospects more than just your MLB guys. And what are we going to get to? Next week, we're going to talk MLB rookies. So if you're interested in that, we're going to be telling you who's on the team and who's come up since then and or been demoted, which we'll end up with a little bit of that tonight. So.
We have a question already that I think kind of goes into that a little bit. I'm assuming Nick Kurtz, because, you know, I don't know of another Kurtz that we should be aware of. How soon? And he says, how soon? Because he's in an 8-man league.
Which, so, no, not at all.
Yeah. I will say right now, I wouldn't touch a guy like Kurtz in that league, because as good as it has been, he's still... he's striking out about 20-something percent of the time. The walk rate is better this year. Last year, that was kind of the concern coming out of fall league, if you could pick apart anything, is that he was striking out and did not walk the way you would like him to walk. That's not the case this year so far, and he's shown power, but he's shown power in the PCL. Now, granted, they're basically playing in a PCL park right now for the A's.
Right.
But that's not true of all the other places that they would play. So the other end of things with Oakland is you've got a whole crap ton of guys that are just in that first base DH mix. And are you going to move Brent Rooker out into the field, which I you know, love Brent Rooker as a Twitter follow and all that good stuff, and a damn good ball player. But his best defensive position is DH. And, you know, you've got guys like Seth Brown. You've got Tyler Soderstrom, who's actually, you know, having a little bit of a revelation at the plate. You got some guys in that first base DH mix that kind of would make it a little bit difficult to just say, hey, we got an open spot right away here for Nick Kurtz. And I cannot believe that they're going to bring up Nick Kurtz until they for sure have, you know, five games a week that he's playing.
Yeah. And there's another, we'll get into some Arizona talk shortly about, you know, an injury with an expected promotion and it was not the guy we wanted. So,
yeah.
But first let's talk about things Toronto's not going to want in 10 years. And that's the remaining money on this flag contract. I genuinely don't want to get deep into it, Ben, but as a former Blue Jay fan, I have been going the other way on the Vlad career, and I'm not a fan of this deal. I think Toronto, if you listen for any period of time, you know that I really thought Spencer Horwitz was an answer to the future first baseman of the team, and it wasn't re-signing Vlad, and it was going and getting the third baseman and letting Vlad play third this year and then buggering off, or getting a deal that suited you, because I don't know that Toronto's really going to do anything. 14 years is a long time. He has a questionable body. You don't want to question his athleticism at the moment, but you're not paying. You're paying for 14 years of it. You don't know if that's what you're going to get, and what you're going to be doing is locking up first base DH. And at some point, who knows when that could become negative to your ball club. I understand Vlad's great right now. I get it.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's an awful lot of money. So,
and I mean, until he started hitting recently, someone like George Springer was a guy who you were like, yeah, maybe life is starting to pass him by a little bit, but we're paying him too much to trade him. Yeah. You know, DH might be where George Springer goes. Well, I don't know. He apparently found a fountain of youth and he's doing well. Maybe he and Jerickson and Profar got together and figured out how to keep themselves on the field more often. But you know, not making any assumptions here, folks. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's a positive start to Springer's year, but the fountain of youth is typically short-lived for these guys.
He looks able in the outfield. That's the big thing to me is it's Springer last year looked like, yeah, he shouldn't be playing in the outfield anymore, let alone, you know, they played him a few times in center, and I just went, are you really? Like, no. He's definitely not a guy that should be playing center anymore. But that's just it, is you have guys like that on the team that eventually are going to need to age into the DH role, and you've already got it filled up.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a problem. I did see a very interesting comparison thing that the expected value on Vlad, and because there's no deferrals, because all that sort of stuff, that in the end, Toronto, actually, this deal might be a better financial deal. Now, just the contract, just the play on the field, than the Shohei Ohtani deal.
Sure, there's a $200 million difference and less years.
And a lot of deferred money,
Yeah, as far as, like,
winning
baseball, Ohtani's been able to help make the Dodgers better. Vlad is getting himself paid.
If Ohtani never pitches another inning for the Dodgers, it's worth it to overpay for that, because they are making bank on what they're making bank on the Japanese market. Yeah, I love
that. I love Britain's comment.
Yes.
Nepo baby contract. No, I wish it was. If Bichette gets it, that's a Nepo baby contract. If Bichette walks to some club anywhere in Major League Baseball and gets $100 million, unless he goes wire to wire this year as the Bichette of old. Say,
if he hits like he has been so far into September, there might be a $100 million contract for him.
Yeah, but speaking, that's enough of Vlad, honestly. Yeah. The boys are going to cover that if they care to or not. But let's dip into some prospects here. And there's no better place to start than the top organization for prospects in Major League Baseball development, especially on the pitching side. The Colorado Rockies, everybody.
Coors.
Chase Dolander is up, and Zach Veen is coming up. And Jordan Beck, as both Ben and I talked to you guys in the offseason about, was not an ideal candidate for that Rockies outfielder. He's going down now. So with Veen up, obviously Sean Donovan, or sorry, Bouchard, right?
Yeah,
Bouchard is not going to be able to get a lot of at-bats. And I'm only saying that because I think the guy's a good hitter. But they're going to go with some youth at that position. So Veen up, do we not just have the same concerns as Beck?
Yeah, and that's just the thing is, you know, it'd be different if they went a couple of weeks and they went, you know, hey, you know, our outfield mix isn't what we were hoping for. And so rather than have a 35-year-old Nick Martini play with a 29-year-old Sean Bouchard in right field, we're going to send one of those guys down or DFA them, and we're going to bring up Veen. Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense where the team is. You're building. And no, let's send down the 24-year-old and bring up a prospect. What? No, why are we playing a 35-year-old guy that is never going to be part of your future?
Mickey Moniak as well.
Oh, and Moniak,
Because he snuck over early in the season on waivers from the Angels.
Although I will say he hasn't hit for, well, okay. The numbers.
He's done exactly what he always does.
Yes. But he has.
He's just a lefty bat.
Tremendously good defense so far. And
sure.
We're going to be getting into the discussion of Dolander, and you can't really talk about Dolander's start without talking about a catch that Mickey Moniak made early in that game that likely set things in the right direction for Dolander because he found his first bit of struggle bus. And then, what did you just do to my sheet? It all of a sudden went black.
Me?
You.
Yeah. I'm not even on it. I'm on Pornhub. I mean, I'm baseball, doing baseball stuff.
Yeah, that too. All right.
No, I'm not on the show sheet at the moment.
But you're exactly right, though. Why are we playing all these other outfielders? Yeah. And, you know, we talked about it when we talked a little bit about Beck during the Big Three Next Three and just the development. Colorado has really crappy fields for properly developing a prospect. Because you get a prospect all hyped up on their numbers in A-ball because their two A-ball fields are launch pads. And then they get to Double-A, which Hartford is neutral, if not a hair pitcher friendly. And all of a sudden, all of their hitters just fall flat on their face at Hartford. And then they go to Triple A and they're launching again.
If they could move their early guys to the East Coast, get colder weather, get other things like you're talking about with the ballparks and all that. And I mean, that's at the owner level where they want to make those changes. And of course, there's communities affected and there's a lot of beyond baseball things that happen with that. But as far as like developing hitters that could be consistent instead of these guys who we keep seeing with like, you know, video game numbers and then all of a sudden they come up and they can or can't do things or you see these ridiculous splits. Like, don't forget that their second baseman for this year is currently Kyle Farmer because Estrada, who they did pick up in the offseason, got hurt right at the end of spring training. And Toglia is in that weird, is he an MLB-er or was last year this weird power thing?
Yeah.
You know, they got a lot of potential roster transition pieces.
20 and it's just strikeouts in 42 plate appearances for Toglia coming into tonight. That's just a hair under 50% rate for those of you who are not so good with the maths. that's not so good.
Yeah. Well, one of the nice things. Yeah, I see that from Britain as well. Yeah, only three more years of Chris Bryant left. Maybe there's a team option. You know, maybe they could extend that. But the one good thing that's happened in Colorado so far this year is that Hunter Goodman, has come on and been good.
Yeah.
And it's allowed Jacob Stallings' struggles to not really hurt the team because he's been able to just be the backup with some limited time. And Bryant is DHing where they don't need to run Goodman around or run Stallings around. And that has been nice.
Goodman's not been hitting great. It's been like 230, and he's never going to be a good old BP guy, but he gives you power. And that's, you know, if you can get a 20 home run guy out of essentially what is your backup catcher. And he's not been bad at behind the plate. He's just, you know, Stallings is a good defensive catcher. And apparently they think that that's important to have for the youth.
Well, for this year, but yeah. And on the front of the, of Dolander. So yes, he's up. It's exciting and whatnot. But again, it's a Colorado pitcher. I'm as excited for Dolander as I am Seth Halvorsen, their closer. You know, like, and both guys have opportunity to help you in fantasy. I legitimately think Halvorsen has more of a chance because Dolander is going to be battling his park and those factors and a bunch of 30-year-olds all around the field. You know, they've got McMahon at third base. Not that he's old, but he is 30. Bryant at DH. Kyle Farmer is another 30, and Stallings when he's playing. So you could potentially have four 30-plus-year-old guys. And this isn't the OBP machine Yankees and Red Sox of the day that we're doing it to wear on the other pitchers. That just might wear on you as the guy who is trying to have quick outs. And that's before you get into Nick Martini, who, like you said, is still kicking around. So, so Dolander, we're happy.
Dolander, I went and looked at Baseball Savant because, you know, I got a little bit deep into Dolander over the offseason because everyone was talking about how he's going to be up and he's going to, you know, how important should he be for our fantasy teams this year, which, A, he's a Rocky, he's a pitcher, don't rely on him. I understand he's like a top 10, he's a legit top 10 pitching prospect in the entire game based on talent. Mm-hmm. But I was very intrigued when I looked at what he did. His first start was in Colorado. And Dolander has a cutter and a curve that he throws in multiple ways. His cutter, he has a straight cut fastball, and then he also throws like a cutter slider hybrid. I've heard that called a slutter, but apparently that's not right nomenclature.
Unless it was that former Reds announcer, he'd Rod, say it.
Yeah. But he apologized. Nick Castellanos hit a home run. We're all happy about that now. But he did not use
the slider. It's all good. We've got a memory.
He did not use the slider blend of that cutter. And then also with the curveball, he's got a short, sharp curve. And he's also kind of got a loopy, high spin type of curve that really drops off the table. He actually he crashed the Google Doc, he didn't throw the loopy curve either, which relies on more spin, as does the slider slash cutter. He didn't throw one of those that entire start, which makes me wonder if he has figured out pretty quick that throwing those pitches in Colorado, not going to be a good idea, because he did throw both of them in the only AAA start he made. So I was very intrigued to see that. It does leave him more susceptible to being hit hard if he's, because he's got, at that point, he's got a four seam, he's got a cutter that's just a cutter, he's got a curve that's a sharp curve, and then a change. It's going to leave a whole lot of not moving much. You know, the guys who have the really good sweeper sliders
in Colorado.
Yeah. The guys who have sweeper sliders seem to do better in Colorado because that sweeper can actually get some depth. But anything that relies on high spin is not so good. And that's exactly what he's running into right now. And so, I thought he managed it well. He did get tagged for two home runs. This is something that you're likely going to see in home starts for him. But if he can bring those other two pitches into the mix when he goes outside of Colorado, I take a gamble on him starting, especially against the right offense. You know, I don't know
that I really want a streamable guy.
Yeah. Yep. But definitely one to keep in. Like I said, I just found that really interesting that he ended up he ended up having that kind of a pitch difference from what he's normally been doing.
Which I'm sure was exactly what they talked about in game plan for, was here's what we don't want to see. And then maybe they'll do the whole, you know, like quarterback from the pocket thing. We're going to let you, when we go on the road, you're going to play a different offense and we'll see a different pitcher. I'm not sure where his next start is right now, but we'll see a different one. Maybe it'll be a second or third start. So, but somebody who's hoping to have a second and third start soon is Spencer Strider with your Atlanta Braves. So I'll give you 30 seconds. Go.
They did rub a little dirt on it. They had to get bring a little of this in. There we go. Then they rub some dirt up. And
yes. Strider, yeah, baby. Never go away.
Strider threw 5 1/3 hitless innings with, I believe, 9 strikeouts off the top of my head. Really good showing. Was running the fastball, was up there touching some triple digits. And the slider looked like a normal Strider slider. I don't know. I don't want to jump in with both feet, but gosh darn it, the way he looks, it's hard not to say that when he comes back, he's going to immediately be that guy.
Yeah, he looks exactly again. Like Ian Anderson. I agree. Okay, so now there's a deal that's on the table. There's a deal that got processed early in the week. Quinn Priester went from roster fodder with the Red Sox to, hey, can you save our rotation with Milwaukee? Yeah. And what Boston received back, I think, is really interesting. They one of those few tradable first-round comp picks, which is outside the top 30, for a free agent that signed elsewhere. And Yofriri, I believe that's correct, Rodriguez, who is one of the J2 guys that we had talked about potentially being a high riser. But, of course, because it's with the Brewers, he got hyped a lot. And, you know, we did our best to tamp that down. And he's a perfectly fine prospect moving along. And it's an interesting one for Priester to go to Milwaukee, where he's going to not just get opportunity, but he's going to also be able to stick around if he can perform. And for Boston, they took something that they did really well this offseason, which was collect a bunch of arms. I guess I should go back further with Priester. It wasn't just the offseason, but dating back to last year.
Yep.
And they were able to deal from a position of strength. And get back younger. You know, they did a good cycle job, right? They got somebody who was not a fit at the moment, but was MLB ready, got him off to a team out of the league that, you know, they're not going to have to worry about. I like the trade, and we don't know what the rest of it is that Boston can receive back, but I'm assuming that depends on Priester's time.
I think it's like a player to be named later, or cash, or that can also go away too. Like you said.
Yeah, whatever suits, depending on what Milwaukee does with Priester.
I love Priester in an organization that has really good MLB development, because he has done what he can do, I think, in the minors. And so he needs to go to a team where once he gets to the majors and hits the struggles a little bit, he's got an organization that knows how to teach at that level. And Milwaukee has done that. They've shown the ability to do that with guys. So that is, if he fails here, this is it. You know, he's not going to, you know, this is really as good as you're going to get here, Quinn.
Rodriguez is one of those shining resemblance. Sorry, Ben, just one on Priester. It's not a shining like resemblance that people are going to be all excited for or comparison, but they did take Bryce Wilson, who Pittsburgh could not get to be a reliable pitcher. And they made him into a good swing man, as well as somebody who filled in for starts. And then he has since gone off and now is met with the White Sox doing a similar thing. So whether that's, you want to call that the floor for what he could be, it's Milwaukee did something with a guy that Pittsburgh couldn't sort out. Yep. So, and then, sorry, now you can talk about Rodriguez.
Rodriguez is one of those guys, to me, there's a whole lot of average, nothing really that pops as far as tools. But you can do a lot with a guy like that because nothing is below average either. That's the other thing is, you know, this isn't a guy who's, you know, 60 power, 60 hit and a 20 run. You know, no, this is a guy who's a 50s pretty much across the board. I like the chance for them to just send him down and say, hey, what do we got here? You know, throw him down in the minors for, you know, in the probably high A, low A. I haven't even honestly seen what he was at. I think low it's A last year.
High A is where they started him this year, but I'm not.
So yeah, I mean that's a guy. They have a whole lot of depth in their upper minors right now. Boston does, so they got time with these guys who are in the lower minors. They got time to just say, "What are you?" And if you would have told me last July that you could trade Nick York for Eufury Rodriguez, a comp pick, and potentially more, I would have told you you're freaking nuts. But that is essentially what Boston has now pulled off. So I'm very interested to see how this works out for both sides. I think it could be a good deal in the end for both teams.
Yeah, he is in Greenville with the high A Greenville Drive. That's where he is right now. So this is one that I'm really interested in, and this is more of the type of guy that I like, because this is the dumpster diving to the max for me, and I don't mean that as an insult to the player, but Houston has promoted previously our undrafted relief pitcher, Logan Van Wey. Mm-hmm. So did you know much about Logan Van Wey? He's a Missouri Southern State guy.
I don't know that I used him in my extra players. I was trying to go back and see, but he was a guy that caught my eye simply because of the undrafted. And then he had, last year had a really nice year with 90 something strikeouts and 72 and two thirds.
And 98 strikeouts. Of course, the walks are high, 40 walks in 72 two thirds innings. But more importantly, this is like a legit arm that you could throw in to get out of a jam. And with the organization having nothing in him in development, they can put him in the fifth, sixth innings when the starter gets in the jam to end the inning. And then that's it. And he goes and sits, on the bench after the two-thirds of an inning and gets a pat on the back and does that a half a dozen times until the All-Star break. And all of a sudden the team starts to put a bit of weight into him. I think this is a really interesting one for deep leagues.
Who did he come up for? Was that Arrighetti? Is that when Arrighetti?
No, because Arrighetti was previous to that. I believe he was previous to that because he would be
starter. Is that the replacement for Rafael Montero going to the Braves? That might be what it was.
Montero was
traded. Which would make more sense.
Bennett Sousa was recalled as the corresponding move for Montero, and Luis Contreras was recalled. And that, I believe, takes care of Arrighetti. Whereas Wey was up the day before because Luis Garcia was transferred to the 60-day, and they optioned Luis Contreras to the minors. And then, because of the injury, they were able to bring him back up. Baseball. Fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, for anyone out there who's like screwed in a league or has the ability to like just stash a guy, I've stashed Van Wey in one league. I don't know that I'm going to until I see where Houston puts him a couple times. Yeah. But he's certainly an interesting watch list guy because he could be one of the immediate fan favorite types because he is the everyman, right? Undrafted.
So I was a little bit disappointed. One of the guys I'm highlighting, a little self-promotion here, my Medium page where I cover 10 prospects every week and kind of break down the guys in a little more depth. One of the guys I'm covering this week is AJ Bluebaugh, who after a pretty solid year last year has come out and had a really solid start to the year. Spring looked like crap, but he's really thrown well in his first two starts in AAA. And that's a guy who really doesn't have anything left to show in AAA. He's not going to be a future front end starter, but he's a more than capable number 4 or 5 sort of guy. I really thought he'd be a guy getting the call to replace Arrighetti just to slip right into the rotation, but apparently that was not their intention there. So maybe that'll change. Maybe, Luis Contreras goes down again in order to bring up a starter when that rotation spot comes around. But I thought that was a little interesting that they didn't bring up a starter to replace Arrighetti.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because they don't need to yet, and they will play that fun game next time. So we'll see. A fun thing I noticed on my home league, we play on Yahoo, which I guess people still do, And they have done something with their torpedo bat where they've made a little icon beside the players that are using it. It's interesting. I'll give them credit for doing something out of the ordinary. They still can't make Ohtani into one player, but hey, they can do that with the torpedo bat. So that's a fun one. Now, earlier we teased the player not promoted that we expected. That brings us to Arizona, Ketel Marte to the IL, and not Jordan Lawler up, but Tim Tiwa promoted. I mean, we talked about how the infield was locked in contractually everywhere but third base, and then they had a guy in Marte who is locked up who gets hurt. You would think this is the opportunity for Lawler, but Diamondbacks have a different plan.
And they're both – I mean, they were both on the 40-man, so this isn't – I wonder if the only question that they had was, you know, I think Samson has made one or two starts since this injury, and Tawa's made the other starts. So maybe they knew they intended to use Garrett Hampson, which I'm sorry, but that's decisions above my pay grade, but
not clear to us why that's the play, but
Tim Tawa is a perfectly fine sort of guy that's going to give you absolutely nothing in fantasy except for contact. Obviously hasn't done that quite yet, but you know, it is, he is, you know, in his major league debut, and sometimes those things take time, but really not an exciting guy that's going to get you home runs or stolen bases. And we talked about this when we were talking about the Diamondbacks, big three, next three. This guy's probably one of those really good bench type of infielders. Can play second, can play third, could play a little first, and can, like I said, he can hit for contact, so he's not going to hurt you in that role. But I was surprised that it wasn't Lawler being brought up, just because, you know, you heard all spring how excited they were for how he showed up to camp and all these wonderful things, and then he's down in AAA. So I don't know. I can't explain it, but certainly Eugenio Suarez is not giving him any room to play. For some reason, he's figured out how to hit the ball over the fence and not hit it any other way, which is amazing. Eugenio Suarez, 6 hits this year, 6 extra base hits, 5 of them home runs.
That's a great start.
He's hitting 150.
I wish Jamar Candelario could have those stats instead of just same average, but not nearly as fun. Seattle's not having the best time right now, Ben, and they lost Ryan Bliss. Leo Rivas, who I know I'm like the lone fanboy of him, he's up with Seattle. We'll see if this really means anything. JP Crawford has just been dog meat right now. So Rivas might have opportunity given to him just out of the need for Seattle to not go, you know, 10 games to under Dylan 500 Moore. After 15. He and Dylan Moore will be on. They'll be the next bobbleheads. So they're kind of an interesting one. And then,
I did hear from someone I trust that they wanted to see Rivas because basically their next step, you know, assuming Bliss is, it sounds like this could be a bit for Bliss. I can't remember what exactly it was. I thought he broke something. Ryan Bliss, his injury. I don't remember exactly what it was, I thought it was going to be a little bit, but their comment was Rivas is going to get a run here. And he's probably going to have himself about 2-3 weeks. And if he can't take bicep the job, tear. There you go. Yeah. Okay. Tear, break. Yeah.
Yikes.
Probably going to be a while.
Absolutely.
But that this could open the door for my guy, Mr. Cole Young, the next option to come up, because Cole could play a little short. He could play a little second, but he would absolutely fill a middle infield role for them. And right now, Crawford's going to get a month. At least, you know, because of the defense, he'll get a month to struggle. But Rivas isn't going to get that much time. So May 1st, you could end up starting to see some movement on potentially having Cole Young in the major league lineup, which that could be very intriguing for Seattle folks. So,
yeah. I mean, Seattle's just interesting top to bottom with how things shake out, it seems, you know. So I know they've talked about how that lineup has eroded, but I think there's still a lot of interesting things that could happen. Last year, they brought up Jonathan Clase when they said their lineup needed a spark, and they were hoping that he could provide that. Not that Rivas is the same type of player by any stretch, but you bring a guy up, like you just said, Ben, with you've got a window of opportunity. Show us what you can do and you might stick around. Yep. So we'll have to see if that happens. So we are late this week because we're recording on a Wednesday for the This Week Jesus Take the Wheel pick. But what I did a week ago, and I don't want you to go back and find it, but trust me, it exists, and I want credit on the back end that Easton Lucas, I told you during a snowstorm in Toronto that he was taking on the Nationals, and he was going to have a great start, and he did. Okay, he did, and then he backed it up with one earlier this week, and you know what he's doing next week, Ben? Two-start week for Easton Lucas. He's going to take on the weak team in the NL East, the Atlanta Braves. And then he's going to take on the Seattle Mariners, who we just discussed with their weird lineup. I love Easton Lucas as a pickup. Now, if you can get him, depending on what's going on in your league, maybe you pay a little bit more than you would have a week ago, of course, because he would have been waiver wire fodder. But you go to the team that picked him up and you reward their early decision by getting something back for yourself in your dynasty league, in your redraft. You're not going to get him, but 10 and a third innings pitched so far, 11 Ks and two wins, most importantly, and Scherzer's not back anytime soon. So if Lucas continues, he will, like, if he can continue to roll, he will just pitch until he breaks, which probably will be around the All-Star break because he has not put, I think, 100 pro innings on his arm yet. So I've got here some MILB players of the week, Ben, from the International League. These are not all necessarily top prospects, but it's interesting to talk about what they who they are and what league they're currently in. So with the International League, Drew Waters from Omaha, which is Kansas City, the Pacific League, Blaine Crim with Texas, Eastern League, Justice Bigby. So that's Detroit guy. Now it's interesting to me that he's in Double A because Bigby was a Triple A guy that had promise a year ago.
Yeah.
Now he looks like he's roster depth or organizational depth.
Unfortunately, so, I think that's the case.
Yeah, and it is also another point is they picked up, this is the Tigers, they picked up the Milwaukee Brewer that I was excited about, Brewer Hicklin. They picked him up, and he's now been called up by him. So it's not like they're against older prospects, but for some reason, Bigby isn't going to kick around.
So Bigby, maybe it's because they called up Hicklin. Bigby got the promotion up to AAA now.
Well, player of the week honors and an open spot, I guess, cleared that up.
One for four with a home run on his first game back in AAA. That's a pretty solid day.
Perfect. So. Okay. In the Southern League, Kemp Alderman from Miami.
Yeah.
Don't know about that. Devin Ortiz with the Texas League with San Diego. Midwest League, Gabriel Gonzalez for Minnesota. He's with Cedar Rapids at the moment.
We're really going to do this again.
Yeah, the Northwest League. Lorazo Montes with Seattle, the South Atlantic lead.
Yep.
Mikel Escada with Pittsburgh, or Philly, sorry, he's with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's
California League, Adrian DeLeon with Arizona, Carolina League, Josh Adamczewski.
Adamczewski, yeah. He's on that Carolina team that is, we're going to talk about a little bit later here.
Okay,
they've Florida got State a lot League. Of fun players.
Yeah, Florida FSL, Cade McGee, who's a St. Louis guy. And then what were the other fun ones here? The pitchers. So AAA pitchers, Tyson Guerrero and Carson Seymour. AA pitchers, Griff McGarry. Remember him, everybody, with Philly?
Yeah.
Pitcher of the week honors. That's great. Evan Fateri, who's with Miami. And then Texas League, Max Rajic. Spencer Bengard with Midwest League, AJ Block, who is an angel with the Northwest League, and then where am I finishing off here? Hayden Slensier with Tampa Bay in the South Atlantic League, California League, Wei-Yin Lin with the Athletics, Carolina League, pitcher of the week, Blaine, Aita, yeah, with Boston. And then Florida State League pitcher was Hayden Minton, who was with Detroit. So there you go, guys.
Here's your fun, you know, I swear that the Eastern League, you know, they had Bigby and McGarry. I think they looked at their 2022 stats. But in all seriousness, McGarry, one start, four innings, no hits, no walks, no runs, eight strikeouts.
Oh my God.
The biggest thing to me is the no walks, mm-hmm. which is not a Griff McGarry thing. So yeah, he's a legit pitcher of the week there. A four inning start for your first start of the year with 8 strikeouts and no walks. But also no nothing. Yeah, that's a nice start. But I thought we were going to the bullpen with him last year. Like, are
that
we
was all the talk. So maybe, yeah. Is this the final opportunity here? Is that why this is? Either way, I'll take it. I'm checking right now in one league that I know I roster him in or rostered him. Did I drop him? I feel like I did. I was trying to trade him until I still have him. So that means I'm going to try to trade him now. So
he's going to be 26 this year. So, I mean, it's not like he's a spring chicken and he pitched most of last year in AAA in the bullpen. So
yeah, he did transition in.
So, he's back down in AA. Maybe that's why, is they brought him back down to AA to potentially start him again. How about you do that with Mr. Abel too? But anyway.
Yep.
Okie dokie. Okay. Well, because we've gone a little bit long here and we want to make sure that we get proper recognition for our wonderful advertisers, I think it's time for an ad break.
From Alvin and the Chipmunks, you're listening to my favorite fantasy baseball podcast, the Peralto Podcast. Two L's, two
Z's. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Inappropriate. Absolutely. I mean, you know you have a killer ad when you have to spell it out 3 times during the advertisement.
Yeah, well, that's like those YouTubers who have to say it over and over again that they're brought to you today by. And since we don't have one of those YouTube sponsors, although we are YouTubers, I guess in theory, somebody hit us up. Anyway, we've got the not so silent majority popped in with a quick: is Merrill Kelly worth rostering in 12-team Pro League? So this is the Prospects Power Hour, but we still play fantasy baseball with the best of them. And in a small league like that, Kelly would be a watch list for me, not a roster. Yeah. I'm interested in youth in Roto more than I am an old guy getting a little stretch going. Now, if you're set up to churn and burn, or you've got a max starts limit or something like that, maybe you want to make sure you're going to be able to fulfill those starts, but I'm not too interested.
If you open the season with him, I don't think you are dropping him right now, but at the same time, I don't know that you are. I mean, the thing that really scares me with him based on his profile: 9 walks, 7 strikeouts in 15 innings. The 7 strikeouts in 15 innings is really not that concerning. That's kind of what he does. Right. But 9 walks, you know, having more walks than strikeouts is really a concern. So, I'm not seeking him out. That's for darn sure. I'm not pulling him in. Now, wait, are you going to go out and start shrinking kids? Is this what I'm hearing from Britain? Is he meaning to say
Rick Moranis? Is that Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Because back when that was a thing at Disney in the 90s, I went to Disney World and when it was new, and went to the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids area. Yep. Not as cool. No. It was different in the movie. It looked It looked real. Anyway, Ben, speaking of things that look real, are where some top prospects were assigned. We've got some guys here. So yeah. You've written in here, Chase Burns is at high A, Braden Montgomery, low A. You're surprised by those assignments.
Yeah. Well, mainly because they're both college guys, both high pedigree college guys that played in very good conferences. And that's typically meant double A. And I was really surprised to see that both of them ended up in A ball, but especially that Braden Montgomery was in low A to start things off. I don't believe he's nursing an injury. So that just seemed kind of odd to me. And it's not like the White Sox really need to hold him back because of the depth of amazing outfield prospects that they have ahead of him. So this is, like I said, it was a surprising assignment. That said, Chase Burns looked like an MFing beast in his first start against a really good lineup in West Michigan. So that at least made for a really fun first matchup because he got McGonagall, he got Max Clark, he got Jose Buscreño, and he just made them all his bitch. So that's that was at least fun because he had that assignment. I have to think that they're going to move him up quickly.
Yeah, maybe this was just convenient for the organization to put him there initially. Like, I mean, I don't know. We know they shuffle guys around, right? And especially mm-hmm. when you get into June, then they're drafting and they're dropping, they're moving bodies. But yeah, it's an interesting one. You've written in here, Kyle Karros, legit Rockies prospect. I mean, I just assume this is a troll directed squarely at me. And yes, of course he is, Ben. This is a 300 hitter. This guy's got a 1500 OPS, a double A, baby.
The thing that
get a good weekend.
Twice
as many walks as strikeouts.
If you watched our Big Three next three, we brought up Kyle Karros just because he's kind of one of those guys. He's more of a gap hitter, but that could play really well in Coors. Mm-hmm. And kind of, yeah, he plays third, but is he a third baseman in the major leagues? I don't know. But he had that big weekend he did moving up to Hartford, which is, like I said, the one place in the Rocky system that is a little bit neutral. And so, yeah, everyone can look really good when they're hitting in, you know, the California League or they're hitting in Spokane, but it's a little more difficult when you go into actual realistic ballparks that require you to have skills to get the ball over the fence. And he did do that twice already. So something to just kind of watch because with his pedigree, you know, he has got some major league pedigree background. So this could be a guy that comes up and does okay because he's not needing the development that a lot of Rockies players do once they get to the major leagues. And so that could be a positive thing to watch.
Absolutely. Now, somebody that we thought was ascending the prospect ladder very quickly, and he did last year, Bryce Eldridge, finished the year in AAA, hurt during spring training. It looks like he's been assigned to AA, not AAA, and I know he hasn't yet started, but I'm just curious, Ben, do you believe that this is a short stint or something that we might just see up until the All-Star break where he's going to have a lot of time at AA, which he did not have last year?
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing right there is he played 17 combined games in AA and AAA last year. Mm-hmm. So he's really not even played, you know, 3 weeks worth of ball games in the upper minors yet. So why not send him to AA? And again, Richmond, Eastern League, fairly neutral after you've been in Northwest League and in the Cal League. So it gives you a little bit more of a, and then their AAA team is, of course, back into the PCL. So the Giants kind of have that not-so-great setup for their prospects as well as far as yoking them up in the A level, and then they get to AA and they fall on their face. But I think he's going to get a chance to kind of see what he is in Richmond, earn his way to the PCL, where he's probably going to look like a freaking god for a few weeks, and then we'll see him at the end of the year, I think.
Okay. I think that would be
this is a 2026 guy, I mean, really. Yeah. But even then, if he opens the season in 2026, if he opens the season, he's 21, 22 opening the season with a major league club. You know, if he makes his major league debut this year.
Like, he'll get the Jackson Merrill contract.
Oh, yeah, there you go. He's going to get that 3 weeks into his stint. You know, yeah, no.
Yeah, that's the new thing. Oh, did you get a hit opening weekend? All right, let's talk. We want a decade plus of you, baby.
Yeah.
All right, Miami, I think that this is fun. And, of course, last year I had my road trip through Wisconsin and other American states back when Canadians were allowed in. And I really enjoyed my time with High Beloit Skycarp. Also known, I didn't bring the damn hat down, as the Supper Clubbers was there.
They have a bunch of fun alternative.
Yeah, and I was there on the first time they did it, and they did it opening weekend. Like, I could definitely see them changing the name to Supper Clubbers because it suits there. But that fun fact aside, they put their talent, Miami's talent went to Bill White. They got Thomas White, who was their opening day starter. Noble Meyer is there. And I'm counting Yidi Capé. And the reason that I'm counting him is that he had a walk-off on the first weekend, which is great. I got to see the video, the whole team running out on the field and all that fun stuff. And the thing I was curious with, because it was with a couple of the teams we're talking about tonight, is who did they put there catching? Because Miami has, you know, catching depth in the minors. But when I had a look here, I took a picture of it, which, of course, I don't have the skills and ability to post that up on our podcast here for people. But their catcher is Ryan Ignofo, Ignoffo. So anyway, not a highly sought after
guy. Yeah, that's interesting.
Their other is Connor Cascanet, which is, he's organizational depth, and then Nestor Rios, it would be their third catcher. So they didn't have a guy, which I thought was odd, considering they put the pitchers there.
Well, and especially they put the pitchers back there. Yes.
Yeah, they both finished the year there. Yeah.
You didn't see great work out of Meyer at that level, but White made 13 starts, pitched 62 innings of 2.61 ERA ball at High A last year, and he's back there to open the year again, which, I mean, okay, you don't need to rush a kid that's 20 years old, you know, but still – Jeez,
it is odd. We would like to see him move, I guess, but that's maybe for us. Whereas we keep seeing partial season here, then promotion. So
Britton's trying to get us both in trouble. He's talking about the the dead desktop that's over my over my left shoulder, and then he says that over Robbie's left shoulder is a stuffed bear.
It's not a bear. I'm Canadian. It's a reindeer or a moose.
Reindeer, okay.
And I had to bring it down here because there's little beads in the butt, and we don't need to get into anything deeper than that. But our dog will pick it and then pull them out, and the beads can be dangerous. See, there's little stuffies here. You can pull that up. It's dangerous. So it's a safety thing, Britton. But appreciate you looking at the detail. So that's Miami. Fun. And then you've got... you found the best lineup, I think, in the minor leagues. You found the Hillsborough Hops lineup. So tell us about that one.
And that one's fun. You know, you've got Drew Jones. You've got Demetrio Crisantes. Both Crisantes jumped into a lot of prospect view last year just because he hit like 400 for a long time into the year. Showed really good contact skills. Drew Jones has kind of reclaimed some of his value. He's maybe not still a top 100 guy on a lot of boards, but he has absolutely moved significantly back up with the year that he had last year. But then they also have Ryan Waldschmidt, their top draft pick this last year. They have Hansel Luis, who is a really good former J2 guy. Lots and lots of tools there. And then Christopher Torin, who's another, you know, toolsy guy. This is a really, really fun lineup, game in, game out. Lot of raw athletic ability. There isn't a guy, nobody that I just mentioned here should hit 30 home runs. But almost every one of those guys could steal you 20 bases or even more, which could be really fun. They could do a lot of fun things with that team. So,
yeah, and you'll just see the guys moving in and out throughout the year. So like that would be just a fun place to go. Now their pitching is, or I should say who they pitch against will determine how fun those homestands are.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one to really look into. Carolina Mudcats as well. This is the Brewers minor league. They have a fun one.
Yeah.
They've got the all exciting J2 prospect, Jesus Made, Luis Pena, recently drafted Eric Bitone. Oh, damn it. I got to say his name again. Braylon Payne and player of the week, Josh Adamczewski.
I bet you he's Spanish. Oh, no, no.
Yeah, he's a Spanish.
If there isn't some like Polak in there,
yeah.
I would be very, very, very surprised. But no,
he's Mate as Spanish and Pena, as a pierogi. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, as Spanish as a pierogi.
Mate and Pena both being at this level is really fun. But holy crap, did Pena jump out in the first week and show that he deserves to be there. 4 steals, 4 walks, 0 strikeouts in the opening weekend. That's a good start for a 18-year-old, maybe not even 18 yet, 17 or 18-year-old in A-ball. This is one with a maybe Hillsboro might have a little more floor to the boys that they've got on their lineup. This one might have a lot more ceiling. Well, does have a lot more ceiling to the guys that are in that lineup. But I would imagine Eric Batante is probably out of there within by May, early May. He played at this level last year, did fairly well. I'm guessing it's just a matter of shuffling some things so that he can move up and play full time at, I think he's a future third baseman. I would imagine that that's probably what they need to do is open up the position they want him to develop at. And right now he can play third base with that crew. It'll be interesting to see kind of how they handle that.
Yeah. Now over in our Lord and Savior, Michael Govier's homeland, Michigan, the West Michigan Whitecaps, Detroit Tigerland here, people have a couple of fun ones here. They've got the hyped up prospect, Jose Bricio. Yeah, Max Clark is there. Kevin McGonigal and Peyton Graham are all hanging out. And Whitecaps, because on the Great Lakes, you get Whitecaps. That's a real, it's a real thing.
And these are the guys that were these guys were made the bitch of Chase Burns, just so we can reiterate that one more time that in the opening day.
Overmatched.
There were some folks who were a little surprised that Clark and or McGonigal were back at high A rather than going up to double A. I do think they want to move them together. And for whatever reason, they seem to want to move Clark and McGonigal together, which I would imagine is coming fairly early this year, unless they both fall on their face. Because those guys both have pretty high floors, as much as you can for a teenage prospect. That should allow them to move up to double A to at least get their feet wet by the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I certainly want to see good things here with Detroit. And it's great that they're playing. Like, I like these teams that are playing in this crappy weather right now. To me, that shows if they can succeed here when we're not having good weather, that proves a lot to me about their ability to sustain a long time. So here's an interesting one that we will move into. The Dodgers, and they went out and they spent money and money and money, and they brought in the top pitcher and the top prospect on most of the lists from KBO. 3 starts in, Ben. He's only got 8 2/3 innings pitched, 9 Ks. He does have 11 walks.
Yeah.
Roki Sasaki.
And
yikes.
The question was, what happened to his velocity last year? Well, they found his velocity. Now they just need to help him find the plate. Because he has not yet so far. He's touching velocity bands that he was not at all last year in MPB. That's one of the things that he's...
It's the kilometers to miles conversion. Yeah, there you That's go. What happened.
But I mean, that was honestly, he sent this out in a like questionnaire to all the clubs that were interested. Tell me what you would do to help me get my velocity back. And there were some teams that were a little bit frustrated that they made that presentation to him. And then did he just take it to wherever he went and take their ideas or whatever? But regardless, obviously it was on his mind.
Right.
So this is not surprising, though. This is a guy who is young, first time in the major leagues, and he's really kind of learning on the job. If you expected him to come out and shove as a rookie in April, I don't know what game you've been watching, because that's just not really what happens. And so it's going to take some adjustment time. If we remember, I mean, I don't want to compare him one-to-one, but Kodai Senga, when he came over, he had this really impressive arsenal that, you know, hitters were saying from the get-go, once he figures out how to use this, he's going to be trouble. And it took him a little while, and then he was trouble. He really got hitters out well, and then, of course, he ended up popping his elbow. But, you know, for a little while there, Kodai Senga was a legit, like, ace-adjacent type of pitcher. Mm-hmm. And that's probably – it's going to take a little while for Sasaki to get used to the game.
Yeah, so, and, I mean, Yamamoto – adjusted last year or was in the process of adjusting, got hurt, and then took, you know, months and months away. Imanaga, who was a veteran, came over and had a very good year with the Cubs. Mm-hmm. And the difference is he is the pitcher. He came over the same pitcher that he pitched at last year, whereas, yeah, you know, Roki can be changing here. Somebody else who was young and with the Dodgers but did not make the club, which I was very surprised, that was Hyesung Kim, who signed a multi-year MLB deal. He is 26 years old in AAA, doing exactly what you were hoping he would do, which is getting on base and stealing some of them. He has a 308 average, a 386 OBP, 4 stolen bases. Power was not the thing you were ever interested with him. It was hit tool and being smart on the bases, 4 stolen bases. I'm happy to see that he didn't come over and get frustrated at the demotion. I'm frustrated at the demotion, but I understand the Dodgers are playing for October baseball. Right now. Well, but they're an October baseball team. They're not an April team. You know, the Blue Jays, there were a bunch of Blue Jay fans who were joking about how they won spring training and they wanted to make shirts, you know, that said like spring training champs or whatever. But anyway, a couple of interesting assignments. Jackson Ferris in AA, Dalton Rushing in AAA doing well. Those were the kind of the guys when we did our big three, next three, that we focused a lot in on. Rushing, again, with nowhere necessarily to go, but as we saw in Atlanta, one injury, you could immediately promote him up if you needed to. So that's a fun one. Texas, they have four that are interesting that were kind of there within their consensus top five, depending on when you made your list and whose arm broke in spring training. But Sebastian Walcott is in AA. Rocker and Leiter both made the big league club. Leiter injured now. And Moore is in High A, who was there. Was he a comp round, first round pick last year? Right.
Yeah.
And but he's the catcher that some people are very excited for. And I will just remind everyone, he's a catcher. So
bat first there. Catcher, but still a catcher.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, so we'll see. The Mets, Ben, we talked a lot about the Mets and what was going to go on with them. Mm-hmm. They found some room on the MLB roster for some of their prospects. Jet Williams is in AA, not AAA. And that's an interesting one to me because he's there with Ryan Clifford.
Kind of that whole roster is surprising to me.
Yeah, their AA roster here is so not the whole roster, but Jet Williams, Ryan Clifford. They've got two starting pitchers in Nolan McLean and the K machine known as Jonah Tong, who I just thought that at least two of these guys were going to go. I could see the pitchers, or I could see Tong specifically coming up later, but Williams I thought would have been in AAA.
Yeah, so Tong and McLean kind of made sense, but it ends up kind of being a really loaded roster just because what has Clifford got to do in AA still? I mean, be healthy, because he wasn't really much last year. But other than that, what else does he need to do? In what is he going to get out of going back to AA? What is that really going to give for him? Because he's done it already. You know, he's already done what you wanted him to do. And now you send him back. Same thing, Jet Williams. What is Jet Williams getting out of going back to AA that he didn't get the first go round? Those two guys really surprised me on that roster. But at the same time, they kind of have a lot of quad A guys in AAA right now. And I wonder if that might have helped to push some of their legit prospects down.
Yeah, not to get into the Angels, because I know that's always horrible for everyone, but they have a fascinating AAA roster if you want to just go and have a look for yourself in your own time. The mix of prospects and guys who should possibly be the 26th man on a few different rosters, they're all hanging out in AAA with the Angels. And 18th round pick in last year's draft, David Mershon, is also in AAA for the Angels.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, it's because we talked a lot last year about how
match is just hilarious. Yeah,
last year they were doing the AA promotion, and now this year they've got guys, Barrett Kent as well, pitching prospect, is up in AAA mm-hmm. with the Angels. But the Mets also kind of, like you said, they're a little clogged up. So that all gets cleared out over the next 6 weeks, end of April, you know, AAA deals and things like that the players have signed. But I think, to me, the most interesting thing here, the most interesting clump of players assigned somewhere are the White Sox, the Chicago White Sox, who lost a record number of MLB games last year, have put their entire future pitching staff in AA. Noah Schultz, Hagen Smith, Grant Taylor, Wilkelman Gonzalez. They've got highly touted prospect. I don't know what the hell we want to call. Jacob Gonzalez is there. He was highly drafted. At least drafted.
He was once an impressive.
Yeah, he's a AA also. William Bergola is also there. And Ben, I know I put in the notes so you can see it, but could you imagine before you read that, who do you think that organization would trust to catch? We know they've got two top catching prospects.
Yeah.
In that organization, and who is catching for everyone out there? Ben, let them know.
It's Omar Narvaez, who I think has had about 48 minutes of major league relevance in his career.
It's shocking to me that they have it. And I'm sure they were like, if you sign with us, we're going to put you here. We're going to put you with these kids. And when they start getting promoted, you're going to AAA too, and blah, blah. Like, I can't believe it that Omar Narvaez is there. Catching. I love it for these kids. And they're getting an MLB veteran catcher.
And a great backup. I mean, I like Adam Hackenberg. I think he could be a someday backup catcher in the major leagues. But even then, he is, like I said, a future backup catcher, and he's more hit than catcher.
Right.
When you have multiple solid catchers, because right now Kyle Teal is DHing all of us
in AAA
with Cuero. Why didn't you put one of them at double, one of them at triple? That just would have made too much gosh darn sense. Which we are talking about the White Sox, but you know,
yeah, it's not about what's best for the organization by putting two catching prospects in one location where they're not both going to be able to catch. And you know, of course, you can make the argument you want them to see better arms, blah, blah, blah. But you also have four pitchers that you obviously care greatly about their development.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of having, a former MLB catcher there. But it is fascinating that you're not helping Teal in that sense by having him become your DH instead of your catcher. Everyone's going to cry he's moving positions, but that's not the point. Much like we talked about Griff McGarry earlier, you want to max out your prospects at the best position. So starting pitching is better than relief pitching for value and, you know, getting innings out of your guy. So it's interesting with Teal. They're like, yeah, just hit. Welcome to the White Sox. Just hit.
Although, I guess I didn't even realize I didn't realize they were that deep into the season, but I've only looked at games where he's DH'd. He has actually had about a 50-50 split. Five games catching, six games DH. So
So it must have been opening weekend that we're tipping off from here.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that when I saw that, I just pulled up Teal's page and I was surprised to see that he's caught about 50%. But still, why? Why is he
right?
Why is he your DA? Why do you have him and Kira both at that level? Because, you know, Kira's played 10 games, and I was just going to pull up here. How many of them has he DH'd? Oh, okay. He's at 6-4, 6 catching, 4 DH. So apparently they are the catcher.
So they're just going to trade him off. Full time at bats, but part time.
Why?
Yeah.
Why do that?
More reason to move one guy down and then move him up at some point when it makes sense, but that's okay. So, Ben, yeah, that's it. We went through some of the fun assignments that we know of. I'm sure you've got some others. If you have some neat ones next time we hop on, which will be Monday night when we're back on the normal time, pop on and tell us this guy's here, because next week we are going to be covering rookies in the show, and that will be an exciting one. We always are happy to see the guys get promoted. And next week we're going to end up with a pretty good list, I'm sure. And between now and then, who knows what's going to happen?
That's just it. I mean, we've had in the last couple of days here? Oh, you stupid computer!
Brad Lord, of all people, went from potential bullpen arm to now he's in the rotation, and he took on the Dodgers.
I was just saying, and he hasn't fallen on his face. I mean, just in, you know, we went hardcore Rocky Mountains over the last couple of days with Veen and Dolander making their debuts. Who's to say that by the time we get to next week, there aren't some more Rockies that have made debuts. I mean, you know, it's coming, folks. You know,
team on the rise.
There we go. Exactly. No, that, in all seriousness, this should be, we're at that time of year where teams are coming out of spring training and they're going, huh, well, maybe Brent Beatty isn't all that he looked like he was going to be in spring training. Maybe we need to make some other decisions in life. And that's where they're at, is kind of figuring that out 3 weeks into the year right now. So you're going to see some guys start to shuffle around a little more. And that could be kind of fun to see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just looking at one of my favorite teams here that I find has exciting players. And they've two guys up that are rookies and another one that had a crap year last year. And he just got called back up, and oh, beautiful.
So the prospect promotion incentive has a deadline that you have to call a guy up by. The Braves, when Michael Harris won the Rookie of the Year, they did not get a prospect promotion pick, even though he was a rookie, because they brought him up too late. So one of those silly rules that's part of this that I kind of think is BS, but anyway.
Julio Rodriguez rule.
Essentially. I mean, he asked, who do we think is going to potentially come up for that as we kind of close things out? Is there anybody? Uncle Ted mentions Roman Anthony and Nick Kurtz. We were talking at the very beginning of the show that Kurtz, more than likely, he's going to get a little more time in AAA. More than anything. I mean, you see two of those first base DH types go down in a week, well, then we're talking something different. But right now, I don't think that he's coming up, because they've got a lot of guys that are kind of doing what they'd like them to do at those positions. So you're either playing him out of position, or you're, you know, say what you want, Seth Brown is getting on base at almost a 400 rate. He's not doing it everything you'd like, but Tyler Soderstrom, do you know Tyler Soderstrom right now is tied for the major league lead in WAR? First baseman, but he's hit 6 home runs already. He's hitting tremendously well. You've got a lot of those, you know, Brett Rooker, 4 home runs. Yeah, he's only hitting .185, but 4 home runs, and you're going to be, those are guys that are at that first base DH turn. I don't know that Kurtz is going to do anything to move those guys unless, like I said, one or two of them goes down. Well, then you might take a risk on that. But the other end of things, Roman Anthony, no, I don't see that coming at all for the Red Sox. There's just no reason and they've got a lineup that's hitting well right now. I can't really think anybody off the top of my mind that would be someone who would really be a guy that might challenge for a rookie of the year spot that could come up this week.
So we just need someone to go down with the Phillies outfield. Justin Crawford could come up and be this upsetting, totally quality hitter.
I actually would really like to see Jake Mangum figure out that he's Jake Mangum and Johnny DeLuca also figure out that he's Johnny DeLuca. And then maybe we get to see some Chandler Simpson. But that would be...
Okay.
That would be a guy.
Well, there you go. So there's a couple of. I had to quickly look. I'm looking for a Max Kepler injury. Those seem to happen. Brandon Marsh
many times.
I mean, he could just get hit with. Yeah, he could just get hit with a ball that he loses in the outfield, and then you know they got to be willing to. I guess Edmundo Sosa started really hot,
but they started him in the outfield this last.
And I know, that's why I'm saying I don't know that Crawford could be a surprise call-up, but that's who I'm going for if I'm picking.
He makes a highlight reel play to rob Marcelo Ozuna of a home run, but he looks so freaking lost in the outfield. Like, he is definitely not an outfielder, and the Braves scored two runs on his arm. So, I mean, he's definitely not an outfielder, shouldn't be out there. Speaking of which, freaking Braves lost again today. God dang it. Gave up a run in the ninth. Wah, wah.
Yeah. Those bullpen arms. Anyway, Ben, that's it for us this week. We'll see you guys next week for MLB Rookie Talk. Find us on the Discord, Palazzo Podcast, 2Ls, 2Zs.
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. It's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.